much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sun News and Ford Nation. I'm Mayor Rob Ford. You've heard the late night comedians. You've heard the critics. You've heard about the pundits. You've heard the criticism and the counselors. Now tonight, I want you to listen to me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Yum, yum, yum. For your tum, tum, tum.
Excuse me, Elmo. How you doing? What do you think of all the recent allegations of your Muppeteer and touching little kids? No? Tickle me, Elmo? No tickle me, Elmo? All right, thanks, man.
Does that make him a little bit more nervous?
I know. I'm all kinds of variety ladies, man. I know every G-spot of your vein.
Our feature presentation.
He does. In his defense, he does.
Yeah, that's true.
Does he know every G-spot of your vein? Is that what he says?
Probably. I'm not sure.
Don't know a lot about how it works down there, but I don't recall the G-spot being in a vein.
I don't either, but if he knows something, I'd like to know.
He knows. Well, there's only one way to find out.
No, I don't want to know that much. I'm just a little curious.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Monday, the 25th of November.
What about Lisa May being bad?
What about that? Who decided that?
That's all I care about. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
How was vacation?
Vacation was great. The question that Dave asked me in the other room was, did you get your mother wasted because she went with me and my sister to Cabo? And The answer is yes.
Yeah. Mom got wasted.
Mom had way too many margaritas. We practically carried her home.
Sweet.
It was awesome.
Now, are you one of the Americans, and there are so many, who go to Mexico? Where'd you go? Cabo?
Cabo, yeah.
Go to Mexico on vacation, and you're sitting there and you're going, sure is nice here.
Yes.
Sure is cheap here. Wouldn't be the worst place in the world to live.
I thought
about
that.
Does that ever
occur to you? Yes. I've thought about that in Belize. I've thought about that in a lot of places. They're all in the back of my mind. Yeah. There's a lot of Americans that live there. It's beautiful.
Tons of Americans that live there. I mean, it's so close to get, in your case, to get back here to visit people or whatever. But you could live a pretty good life in Mexico.
Yes, you could.
That's for sure. Speaking of traveling, I've got a story to get us started here on this Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. From time to time, we take calls from our listeners who may, like Lisa's mom, drink a little bit more than they should that night.
Mm-hmm.
Have we done a story about the furthest you ever woke up from where you started? Have we done that story?
I don't know.
I don't think so, except for Psycho Mike's story.
Right.
Ended up in a completely different city. I think it was in Paris or someplace.
Well, this story is similar because his name is Luke Harding. He's a 19-year-old sheet metal worker. Started out drinking in a few pubs near his home in Manchester, England. He started going home around 4 a.m., and that's the last thing he remembers.
Uh-oh.
Is I was on my way home. It was 4 in the morning. I don't remember getting home. Well, the reason he doesn't remember getting home is because he didn't go home. He woke up several hours later in an airport bathroom. The airport was Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris.
Wow.
He's in Manchester.
What?
And he ends up in Paris. He woke up sleeping in a bathroom stall. It was the sound of somebody pooping in the next stall that woke him up.
Right.
That's how he came to.
Now that's an alarm.
He says he does not remember anything, but he's been able to put the pieces together because he had an app on his phone that said something about cheap flights to Paris. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing, apparently. It sounded like a good idea at the time. He headed to the Manchester airport, booked a 6 a.m. flight, it turns out, for $161. As I say, woke up in the airport and then just hung out at the airport for 8 hours until he could get a flight back.
Wow.
Ended up booking a flight back, leaving at 6 p.m.
But those airport restrooms, in his defense, are super nice.
I'm sure he had a great time. That was his time in Paris. So he spent $160 to get to Paris, never left the airport, spent $247 for a return ticket, and now he's maybe rethinking his strategy late at night.
I love it.
That's
I can't imagine doing all of that in a
blackout. I mean, he doesn't remember buying the ticket, going to the airport, getting on the plane, landing in Paris, going through customs in Paris. He only knows he woke up in the bathroom
and
stall.
He apparently was acting normal enough that no one thought there was anything wrong.
Sure.
Yeah, that's, you're right. They let him on a plane. So there you go. So top that, Lisa's mom.
Good times.
Your mom's was pour into a cab and
your
then
mom's
pour
really
into her
gotta
bed.
Step it up.
You're right. I'll talk compete. To her.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't just a little aroused.
That's what I thought.
All right.
Andrew Siciliano will be here.
Is that why
Fantastic.
We're aroused?
From the NFL Network, talking okay. about this past weekend and the inevitable road to the Super Bowl for the Arizona Cardinals.
And how there's another tie in the NFL and why they can't get past that. Why they can't not make ties happen.
Yeah, ties blow in every sport.
They do.
We also have Terry Crews in studio.
Oh, he's okay. That's why I came back.
Yeah. From Brooklyn 99.
Yep.
Looks like the meanest guy in the world, isn't?
What a pussycat.
Pretty much just the opposite. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have a Twitter game that we like to play that we think you'll enjoy called Jaden or Justin. That's coming up. And we're going to take a quick break and come back with a showbiz beat. And that's coming up next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 551. Nope.
Come on, sing it if you know it.
This is Thanksgiving this week, you guys.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, ooh, Thanksgiving. Turkey things are going to happen. Gobble, gobble. Thanksgiving cooks outside my window.
Come on, this isn't even a good version of this.
Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree.
I'd like to hear your version.
I wish the pilgrims could see. But I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window plane.
What's wrong with Omar?
Nothing.
What is wrong with Omar?
Yeah!
That's hey, hot! It's Monday morning at the Kevin and Bean Show, 5:52. Ralph is here, time for our very first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, you mean... Ralph Garman, proud owner of tickets to the reunion of Monty Python at the O2 Arena in London, England.
You that bought Ralph the tickets? Garman? No kidding.
Who was up at 2 o'clock this morning to jump on the internet to buy his tickets?
How about that?
This guy!
You're going to England
I'm
to see a comedy
to
show.
I'm going to England.
See, Bean, here's what happens with some people is they'll say, hey, that looks interesting.
Right.
I might go. And then some people, like Ralph just did, will follow through and go.
And live the adventure. Yeah.
It's weird.
Monty Python announced last week that they're reuniting for the first time since 1980 to perform their comedy live on stage at the 20,000-seat O2 Arena. July the 1st will be the date of the reunion. The first show sold out within 43.5 seconds.
Oh. Wow.
That immediately led Monty Python to extend the run of the show through the 5th of July. So there'll be four shows total. Then they announced a sixth show being planned
in here
for the Hollywood Bowl. After some of us bought tickets at 2 o'clock in the morning at the O2 Arena in London and felt very happy and proud and pleased with themselves that they were able to do that.
Some of us who hate to travel did that.
Look, I'm sure you've already planned this, but you just sell your O2 tickets. Obviously, there's a tremendous demand for them in Europe. You sell those tickets, go see them at the Bowl, you're set.
Love it.
But then I don't get to go to London.
Or go if you want to go to London. Yeah, of course. But if the only reason you were going was to see this show, now you've got at least you've got an out.
Well, that was the reason I was going. And then Mrs. Garman caught wind of that, someone who loves to travel, whose best friend lives about 45 minutes north in Nottingham, in England, and the idea of a trip to the UK for her was over the moon. She could not be more thrilled.
All right.
Had no interest in going to the show with me, but was looking forward to the trip. So she's already hard at work on that.
Right.
So now to go back today and say, let's sell the tickets and I'm just going to go to the Bowl instead. I don't think that would go over well.
Tough sell, yeah.
So I think I'm going to England in July.
You've never been, right?
Ralph? I have been, yes.
You have been, okay.
You need to do that and then come back and see him here as well.
So that's what I'm going to do. Yep. I'm going to be like one of those
travel
crazy Bruce Springsteen stalkers who just travels around the world seeing every show he does. I'm going to be one of those guys for the Pythons.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Actually, I'm kind of excited. Because I'll be there the first time they step back on stage since 1980.
Right.
Everyone else is just going to say, oh, yeah, whatever.
Heard about that show again.
Oh, they're so bored with you in that show and that crowd.
That was good back when I saw it on Tuesday. No, but I don't know if they've got it anymore.
First night. Oh, you saw third night? Okay, whatever.
That's longer good than enough for now.
You. All right. You're not a fan.
That's awesome that you bought tickets and then it was announced.
Yeah, I had... no one knew. No one knew.
Sweet.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Congratulations to The Hunger Games: Catching Fire. Did pretty well in its opening weekend. Let me see. Yeah, pretty well. Must have made $20, $30 million. Oh, no. Pulled in $161 million in its opening weekend.
Wow.
I don't know if you heard me. $161 million.
20 or 30 is a lot and is number one most weeks.
As you can imagine, the remainder of the films in theaters this weekend did not fare nearly as well. The second best grossing film this weekend was Thor: The Dark World with just $14
million. 161. Yeah. 14.
Then The Best Man Holiday hanging in there at number three, $12.5 million. Then Delivery Man with Vince Vaughn in its debut only made $8.2 million. Went to see that this weekend.
Did you?
Yes.
What'd you think?
It's charming. It's a lovely little film.
I saw it too.
Same thing. It's very cute and heartfelt, and Vince is great in it. Yeah. Actually, Chris Pratt, I think, steals the film. He's really great in it. It's not nearly as funny as you might expect a Vince Vaughn film to be.
Yeah, I was expecting
very charming.
A little more of wacky Vince Vaughn, and he's not really there.
No, but I enjoyed it.
But it was well done.
Free Birds was fifth, then Las Vegas, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, and The Dallas Buyers Club, which is about razors. You get razors sent to your house?
No.
I'm not sure how that works.
No, that's really AIDS medicine is more what that's about.
Same thing.
Okay.
Everyone knows razors save AIDS patients. They've just announced another reboot. I'm getting tired of the reboots. This time it's personal, though.
Why?
They've announced a remake of the classic 1989 film, Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse. How are you going to do that?
That's just wrong.
That's lightning in a bottle.
How are you going to come at Roadhouse like that?
Well, the one thing we know is it's not going to be as good.
That's for sure. One other thing we know is, I want you to be nice until I tell you it's time not to be nice.
Yeah.
Come on.
All you have to do is follow three simple rules. One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice.
Aw.
Yeah.
Time
not to be nice.
They got Jaden Smith doing the Patrick Swayze role.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Pain don't hurt. Speaking of relatives of famous people like Jaden Smith, Clint Eastwood's daughter, Francesca, the 20-year-old daughter of Clint Eastwood, got married this weekend to Jonah Hill's brother, Jordan Feldstein. Jordan Feldstein! I guess everyone in Hollywood is related, either by blood or by marriage, so congratulations to those two. By the way, Francesca Eastwood, beautiful girl.
Yeah.
Jordan Feldstein looks a lot like Jonah Hill. So congratulations to Jordan Feldstein.
Good poll.
And we hear a lot about Tori Spelling bitching about how poor she is. She wrote a book, Spelling It Like It Is. See what she did there?
See.
Where she talks about her financial ruin and how tough times are with four kids and not a lot of money coming in. Well, it turns out, Radar Online did a little research, and looks like she's certainly not eating top ramen to get by. She has three different nannies for her four kids. Keeps them on staff full time.
Really? Okay.
And owns multiple storage units stuffed with designer clothing and furniture and jewelry and accessories, and apparently refuses to sell a single thing. Even though it could mean hundreds of thousands of dollars in extra cash for her and her family.
Huh.
So she's not that poor.
Must not be.
Rumor has it also that Candy, her mom, who was the wife of Aaron Spelling, her dad, who, of course, famously was a huge TV producer, multimillionaire, oh, that giant home, remember, with the bowling alley and a room just for gift wrapping?
Yep.
She's finally loosening the purse strings, and she's going to lend the couple some money but at a high rate of interest.
Oh, that's nice.
So, Candy's a businesswoman.
That's nice.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Excuse me. Katie Cassidy from Arrow. She was also in the reboot of 90210, but so good on Arrow. 27 years old today. Actor Jerry Ferrara, Turtle. Soon to be seen in the major motion picture, Entourage, the movie. 34 years old today. Christina Applegate is 42. Tim Armstrong, Rancid singer and guitarist, is 47. Actor Billy Burke is 47 years old today. And Philadelphia Eagles coach Chip Kelly celebrates his 50th birthday today. Woo! Chip! 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 Chip!
What's weird, we usually don't celebrate head coaches in the NFL.
Well, we do.
Their birthdays.
When they're going to revolutionize the offense of the NFL the way Chip did in the first week. And then not so much in week two or any week after that. You're Arizona Cardinals, by the way, Kevin.
Yeah.
Looking very impressive.
Yep.
They're making a big push towards the end there.
Road to the Super Bowl. Who's with me?
Goes through Arizona. Maybe you can get tickets for the UK. Maybe you can go there and buy tickets for the games they play there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us from the TMZ newsroom. Plus, there's a new, as they're calling it, Kevin, Red Menace, Hot Cheetos, back in the news. Sending kids to the emergency room. Why? Because they're so darn spicy.
Because their booties be burning.
Their booties be burning. So we'll talk about that later this hour here on the Kevin Beach Show as well. First, though, Monday morning means we catch up with our old friend Pat O'Brien. Sports Radio's Pat O'Brien talking about the NFL. Good morning, Pat.
Harvey Levin. You mentioned Harvey Levin is a good friend of mine, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah. Harvey is a regular on primetime with me and Hartman.
Okay.
Comes on to talk about TMZ Sports.
Okay.
So it's better than you, better than your show.
Why is that?
Harvey comes on my show.
Right.
Talks about TMZ Sports.
Right.
Brand new, by the way. Exciting.
Okay.
Just like primetime itself. That's why our ratings are through the roof. Just ask Hartman. He'll tell you.
I don't think your ratings are through the roof.
Through the roof. If you had a very small house.
Right. Well, all the best shows are on AM. We know that, Pat. That's how you can tell you've made it when
Absolutely.
You're on AM.
So I come by here as a charity to help you guys.
Just help us out.
With your NFL coverage.
That's nice.
You struggle when it comes to that.
That's nice.
Just ask Hartman. He'll tell you.
I don't know Hartman. There's no one here by the
name of Hartman. Last night, the Patriots versus the Denver Broncos, it was a much-anticipated game that didn't look like it was going to live up to the hype in the first half. 24-0, thanks to a couple of turnovers for the Denver Broncos. But then the second half was a whole different ball game. Turns out Tom Brady's pretty good.
Yeah. Decent quarterback.
Led his team back, and after an embarrassing, fluky mistake made by the return team for the Patriots on a punt, for the Broncos, the Patriots were able to kick a field goal and end that thing. But I got to tell you, I was talking to Eva Mendes last night as we were watching the game.
Wait, you watch football with Eva Mendes?
Yeah, over at David Duchovny's house. And, excuse me, Eva said, why didn't Wes Welker tell everyone to stay away from that punt if he wasn't going to field it? And I said, that's a great point. And
Eva Mendes said that,
yeah.
Huh.
And then Michael C. Hall, he was picking up. He was going on a beer run, and when he came back, the game was over. He was very upset, but we told him what happened. He said, well, that's all Welker's fault. He should have called poison on that ball.
Yeah.
You sent Dexter out to get beer for the party, Pat?
Yeah. He's a good friend of mine, Michael C. Hall.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How about that?
Everybody seems to be a good friend of yours.
I came up with Dexter. That was my idea.
It was?
Yeah.
Huh.
Another exciting game.
It was based on a book.
Yeah, I wrote the book.
Oh, okay.
By the way. Was that Packers-Minnesota Vikings game. That went into overtime. And we had a tie. You don't see that very often in professional football.
Yeah, ties too much.
The Packers and the Vikings. I'll tell you, you got something. You got to give some mad props, as I say. I invented that saying, by the way.
You didn't invent that saying.
To the Packers, a real gut check game. He came back and... Flynn, I think they're happy to sign him now as a quarterback. He came back and pretty much saved their season by coming back and getting that tie because it looked like they were going to lose that game. Kevin, your Cardinals look pretty good against the Indianapolis Colts. Nobody expected them to manhandle the Colts the way they did. 40-11 is the final score of that game, by the way. Kellen Lutz and Adam Lambert told me while we were watching the game over at Rebecca Romaine's house that Nora Jones had money.
Wait.
on that game. She picked the Colts. Jude Law picked up her action. I couldn't believe it. He had to borrow the money from Catherine Zeta-Jones, who was staying in the guest house. That's when Katie Holmes and Marcia Cross came in. They brought some souffle could eat during the game. And Jane Lynch said to me, is that your Ferrari parked out front? Because Rosario Dawson just tapped it with her Bentley.
Right.
I went out there and turned out it wasn't Rosario. It was Michelle Rodriguez who had come late to the party, and she was bringing Carrie Underwood and Ashley Simpson.
Pat, what are you talking about?
But we had to leave room because Patrick Dempsey needed a space. He and De Niro were coming by with Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs and Fergie. Okay. And all the street parking was taken, so we had to put Fergie in Donny Osmond's slot. Because he called and canceled because Brandon Flowers was going to give him a ride.
Wow,
along with the rest of the Killers.
You have a hell of a watching party on Sundays.
I do, because I have a lot of showbiz friends.
Right,
Kevin.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Just ask Hartman, he'll tell you.
Don't know
okay.
Hartman.
If you got a problem with me, I'll meet you down there at Sepulveda Ventura.
All right.
We'll settle it that way.
Okay. All right.
There's a hospital better. Right near there.
Right.
I won't take you there. I won't take you there, but that's where you'll end up if you take me on.
All right.
Other big winners. Yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens beating the hapless New York Jets. The Steelers finally look like they're putting things together with Big Ben Roethlisberger. They beat the Browns. Tampa Bay coming on late in the season, making their record 3-8. Maybe a little late for Tampa Bay. They beat the Detroit Lions. St. Louis Rams, 42 over the Chicago Bears. Look like they're struggling without Jay Cutler.
Sure.
And in the battle of the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys just barely got past the New York Giants to take first place in that hapless division. So I'll have to wait and see what happens. But tonight, the 49ers against the Redskins. My prediction, 71-3.
71-3?
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you which team.
One of the teams will win by 69 points?
That's right. I'm not going to tell
or
you which one, though.
70 points?
Johnny Depp told me to keep it a secret.
Did he?
He did. I'm losing my voice.
You all right?
I had to go get some therapy because I got primetime coming up
sure.
this afternoon. Me and Steve Hartman.
Right.
And Harvey Levin from TMZ Sports.
Right.
I'm Pat O'Brien. That's your NFL update.
So, Kevin, if you had your choice, would you have wanted to hear from Conrad Murray about the desperate, sad final days of Michael Jackson? Or is that information you would have rather just never seen?
The information where he held his penis every night, that information?
Among lots of other things.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is how I want to remember Michael Jackson, but I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to forget it having read this article in the Daily Mail. Let's find out what Harvey Levin from TMZ has on this. Harvey, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank
good.
You.
First of all, how much did they pay the good doctor? Do you know?
A lot of money. He was shopping this thing like crazy and wanted a ton of money.
What are your first impressions upon reading the article this morning?
He's a total douchebag.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a real hateable guy. And I say that only because he's not doing this to vindicate himself. He's doing this just to make money. This is a total money grab. In other words, if Murray, you know, look, we broke a story 3 years ago saying that Murray's position was that Michael killed himself.
Right.
And that when Murray walked out of the room, Michael injected himself with propofol because he couldn't sleep and he accidentally OD'd.
Right.
So, you know, if he wants to talk about that, let him talk about that. But what he did was he realized, look, if I get really salacious and just trash Michael Jackson, just trash him with all sorts of lurid things, I can make more money.
Just intimate details that are embarrassing and whatever,
that
right?
Has nothing to do with Murray and drugs and anything. You know, he says that he held his penis every night to fit a catheter because he was incontinent.
Yeah.
That he wore dark trousers because he went to the toilet and he dripped for hours.
Okay,
now listen, the reason I'm saying it out loud is because what a despicable human being that he would just, he's basically taking Michael Jackson and just destroying him just so he can make a little more cash.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
If anything shows who Dr. Murray is, what a loathsome person he is, this is it.
No, that's a great perspective because there's no other reason to do it, right?
Yes, that's it. It's like you could get $25,000. Hey, I'll talk about holding his penis if you give me $50,000.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's all this is, that this man who professes to love Michael Jackson, all he loves is money.
Wow. He also talks about how Michael Jackson was 5'11 and about 125 pounds when he died. And
well,
that,
I can I can tell you that when the paramedics arrived, they didn't know it was Michael Jackson. They thought it was an old, old man who had just died of natural causes.
Oh, my God.
They didn't know for 20 minutes that it was Michael Jackson.
Are you kidding?
No, that's how bad he was.
Wow.
He also talks about how Michael Jackson was paranoid, which we had heard, and that he wouldn't let nurses come in to clean or anything like that. So it was
that was going on forever.
Just filthy, though, in there. Just terrible, sad conditions.
That's not new stuff. I mean, the stuff that's... He's just a horrible man. He's a horrible person.
What's going on? I guess you... did you guys talk to Debbie Rowe? What's she saying about this?
I did last night, and it was great. I mean, it was great. Because one of the things he said was that Michael never had sex with Debbie, and that Michael and Murray used to sit around and joke that neither of them would sleep with her. So I talked to her last night.
Yeah.
So she says it takes two to F, and there's not enough alcohol in the world, number one. Then she says, where is this? Then she says...
Is this the part about the bullet?
No, I was going to get to the bullet, but this is my favorite one, though. If I had a dog as ugly as Murray, I'd shave its ass, make it walk backwards, and put a wig on it.
So no love lost between Debbie Rowe and the good doctor, then.
Okay, now the shocking part. Then she says that if she believes that Murray will be dead in 18 months and that a Michael Jackson fan will shoot him dead.
Oh,
she
wow.
Said, and she then said that she would gladly supply the bullet. And she said she wouldn't shoot him, but she'd buy the bullet. And she said that she would want it to be a hollow point bullet because that eviscerates you when it hits you inside.
Oh, my gosh. You know, say something about, look, you're talking about how Dr. Murray would say anything to make all this money. Talk about somebody who could make $10 million off of talking. That's Debbie Rowe, who has done everything she possibly can to preserve the memory of Michael Jackson, with whom she had her children.
You know what? It's so interesting that you say that, because I agree with you, but I don't think people are saying that. I mean, listen, it was a weird relationship.
Right.
I mean, she carried his baby. She knew him really well. I mean, this wasn't just some woman. She knew him really well because she worked for Dr. Arnold Klein, who Jackson was going to all the time.
Right.
And, you know, and that's how she got to know him. And they all were vacationing together. So, you know, it's a weird relationship, but it's so true. I mean, she's out in, you know, no man's land, and she's raising horses, and she's trying to be a mother to Paris, even though she was barred from dealing with Paris during Michael's lifetime. Paris is in trouble, and Debbie Rowe's been the one that's quietly stepped in and really tried to help save her, and she's not looking for publicity, and she really isn't. And
yeah.
I completely agree with you.
It makes it look like Michael, you know, for all the mistakes that he made in the last years of his life, I mean, he did have a good sense of what she was about and picked well for somebody who would be discreet and, you know, and do what he needed to do.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right. Fascinating stuff. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more fallout after this Dr. Conrad Murray interview. But you can read all about it at TMZ.com and should. TMZ Live on Fox Channel 11 at 4 o'clock and then the original TMG at 6. Thanks, Harvey. Have a great week, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin
Beach.
Bye-bye. Kevin, you love the hot Cheetos, right?
Oh. A, I love the hot Cheetos. B, I love those little kids.
Those little kids. Let me hear some of those little kids, our little hot Cheetos kids.
I just love hot Cheetos.
Oh, nobody's ever been happier than those little kids.
When was that story? We did it.
Well, we're going to get to that story.
5 years ago.
Okay. We're going to get to that story in a minute. Let me bring folks up to speed with why we're talking about hot Cheetos today, because this was an obsession on the Kevin DeBean Show about 4 or 5 years ago. But they're back in the news. Channel 7 did a report at the end of last week about how hot Cheetos, guys, are sending kids to the emergency room. You can't believe how much hot Cheetos some kids are eating. Let's hear a little bit of that story.
Well, you know, as you said, it's an ongoing concern for many parents and pediatricians, and yet many kids are still not getting the message. One local doctor says in her neighborhood, the problem is so big, she sees numerous cases of stomach problems a day. It didn't take long before we met one child who had eaten more than his share. Yes.
After weeks of stomach pain, 12-year-old Andy Medina told his mom it was time to see a doctor. Eating Flaming Hot Cheetos left him with a sensation of burning.
It really hurts a lot.
He eats bags and bags of these spicy chips.
So in a month, how many do you think?
How many do you guys think in a month our little patient is eating?
In a month.
Bear in mind, 60 bags.
Bear in mind, he has parrots. Okay, he's not feral. He actually has parrots, presumably. How many is he eating?
I'd say 20 bags.
20 to 30 bags is what he says, that which means almost every single school day, probably, he's eating a bag of hot Cheetos. No wonder his stomach hurts, right?
20 or 30.
White Memorial's Dr. Martha Rivera says she'll see dozens of kids each week with gastritis due to eating spicy chips, spicy candies, and other spicy delicacies.
By the way, I just have this impression that when I was a kid, my stomach was made of cast iron.
Yeah.
I feel like, and you know my memory is terrible, but I feel like I never had a stomach ache. I feel like I could eat every bit of trash I wanted to eat and it would never bother me because I was a little kid. I had stamina. What's with these wussy kids that have to go to the emergency room because they had a bag of hot Cheetos?
But these kids knew that it was sometimes your booty be burning.
That's what I understand. I mean, yeah.
Pediatricians nationwide claim the hot Cheetos and other spicy snacks are leading to unnecessary emergency room visits. Several school districts, including ones in Southern California, have banned the snacks because they lack nutritional value.
Ooh.
But Dr. Rivera's main concern is how the artificially flavored spicy chips can easily increase acidity in the delicate lining of the stomach.
It hurts. You eat it. It burns when it goes down, it burns when it comes out.
Right.
Dr. Rivera advises parents to switch out chips for healthier foods such as string cheese, apples, and pretzels.
By the way, does the doctor not know that string cheese, apples, and pretzels aren't a millionth as good as hot Cheetos?
Yeah, what kid is going to go, all right, that's a good trade.
Yes, string cheese. Thank you, Mommy.
Instead of giving kids money for after-school snacks, she says get them something else.
A coloring book or something to make it worthwhile instead of buying the junk food that's going to cause them to get gastritis to come to my office where they need to sit for an hour to see me.
All right, let me just say this, that if your kid is expecting hot Cheetos in his lunchbox and he gets a freaking coloring book, he's coming back and burning your house down.
Yeah, things are going to go terribly south for you.
All right, so that's the hot Cheetos in the news today. Kevin is making reference to a story that we brought you probably 4 or 5 years ago that I know you love, Kevin, especially since it was on NPR and you love their delivery so much.
Yeah, I do. They tend to make everything boring.
Here's a little bit, and we'll revisit with our kids on the playground at the Pasadena school, but here's a little bit of NPR setting up the story about the red menace that is hot Cheetos.
Well, now a story about a snack food that is winning no culinary awards. If you've got school-age children, you may be aware of a red menace that is sweeping the nation, Flaming Hot Cheetos.
I just love that it's a red menace.
It's a red menace, and I'm going to call it that twice in the first sentence.
All right, so the NPR correspondent goes to the school in Pasadena and talks to the principal about what the problem is.
There is one snack that still bedevils her. One snack the kids spend their recesses talking about. The Roadrunner to her Wile E. Coyote. Flaming Hot Cheetos.
They don't just buy the little single bags. They usually bring the family size bags.
Sure.
I don't like red hot Cheetos at all. I don't think it's good for them. If you look at it, there isn't anything nutritional in there. It's all a lot of chemicals and food coloring.
That's why it tastes so good. All right, now we're in the playground. Let's hear what the kids have to say about the hot Cheetos.
Her students, however, have a slightly different take on the cheese-flavored corn snacks.
I like them so much. They're my favorite. When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
Chetan Taylor, Olivia Thomas, David Isaiah, and others are huddled around a picnic table on the Jackson playground. They say they love the spiciness, the crunch, the illicit nature of the snacks, even the red powder that invariably ends up all over them and their clothes.
What's going on with your pants here?
Today, I ate some hot Cheetos in the morning, and I got some on my hands, and then I was licking it, so it got away, so I wiped them on my pants.
Well, it makes a lot of sense when you explain it that way.
Sure.
How about the side effect, perhaps, of eating a lot of hot Cheetos?
What would happen to me if I ate this whole bag?
You might have the runs. Your booty might be burning.
Your booty might be burning.
How
How do you take Cheetos away from those cute little kids?
They, by the way, they're fully aware that your booty might be burning.
And you
and
might get
willing,
the runs.
They're willing to take the risk.
Yep.
Listen to how happy they are.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much. Hot Cheetos.
What I was saying.
Hot Cheetos. Hot Cheetos. Hot Cheetos. When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I believe that our education, like such as South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as,
there's a new way for your kids to get high.
Butt half. Butt half.
I took my grandma's car because I got mad at my mom.
Along the way, he ran over two mailboxes, hit two parked cars in a Costco parking lot.
This says Hot Cheetos Remix, and there's a lot of other stuff in it.
There is.
Yeah, what the hell? What the hell's going on?
I thought it was a Hot Cheetos Remix. We need
we
a Hot
not
Cheetos.
Have that?
Well, I don't think so. I don't, we have...
Things haven't changed since I left.
Hot Cheetos!
No, it says Hot Cheetos Remix. And then it goes into all that other stuff.
Oh,
I'm so disappointed. Okay. I love the Hot Cheetos.
Me too.
Sometimes your booty be burning. your booty.
I just love Hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
We'll track it down.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Hey!
Got to get together on that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7.
Too late.
A little.
Ralph, a former Philadelphia Eagle coming in next hour.
I know. Terry Crews used to play for the Birds.
I didn't
love
know
him
that.
So much.
Hell yeah.
Of course, he was a Charger. He's a Ram. I think he played for the Redskins, too. He's a terrific actor. He's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and he's one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. Very excited to welcome Mr. Crews to the show next hour. Right now, though, Rob has the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Because it is Monday, it means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office.
Movies!
Oops, sorry.
Don't know what's going on.
I was just moving my mouse. That was an accident. Sorry.
I have any idea what's going on.
Should we just call it a week?
It's Monday.
It's a short week anyway. Let's stop the bleeding.
Cut our losses.
Stop the bleeding. The remix and the boobies and just apparently anything goes today.
Not everything. Sorry, we're out of time. Not everything is working if that's what you're saying.
I blame Lisa. Things were fine until
she
came
really?
Back.
Last that's
week,
not what
last
I
week
heard.
Was magic.
Really?
Best five shows ever. Now it's all crap.
Hmm.
It's Monday. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. That's all you really need to know about the box office this weekend. It dwarfed every other movie in theaters, making $161 million over the weekend. The next best grossing film was Thor the Dark World with just $14 million. Then you get The Best Man Holiday, Delivery Man, the new Vince Vaughn film. $8.2 million made it number four. Free Birds was fifth. Then Las Vegas, Bad Grandpa, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave. And at the bottom of the list at number 10, Dallas Buyers Club with $2.7 million. Earlier, about an hour ago, I congratulated Clint Eastwood's daughter Francesca and Jonah Hill's brother Jordan Feldstein on their wedding.
Yeah, that was news.
They got married. It was news. They got married over the weekend in Las Vegas. So congratulations to those two. Up!
What?
Francesca Eastwood just asked for an annulment.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, so congratulations on the shortest marriage in Hollywood history.
Well, I don't know. Remember, Britney Spears went
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that was 72 hours.
That was 72 hours.
With Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Usually annulments are because of fraud, right?
Yeah, well, maybe they didn't consummate, or maybe, as Francesca Eastwood is claiming, it was purely fueled by alcohol.
Ah,
and so she was not of her right mind when she decided to say yes to Jonah Hill's brother. She immediately had regrets, she claimed. And so now she's trying to get the marriage annulled.
That's funny.
So maybe not congratulations so much. To those two people.
It's been a while since
been
we've
a while.
Done... talk to our listeners about the shortest amount of time they've been married. I always think those stories are fascinating, that you pledge yourselves to each other for life, and then 3 weeks later, you're divorced.
I do, too. Let's ratchet it up. Let's make that happen. Those are good stories. If you are like me, you are thrilled about Anchorman 2 coming out shortly, and enjoying even more so Will's PR blitz where he seems to be appearing everywhere as Ron Burgundy in character.
Love it.
Makes me laugh. Nothing more so, though, than Ron Burgundy's latest announcement. He will be doing color commentary for an upcoming professional curling event for the Canadian sports channel TSN.
Say what?
Yeah. Ron Burgundy will be doing the Tim Hortons Roar of the Rings tournament. The Roar of the Rings tournament in Winnipeg, Manitoba. As Fitchin. You know, the winners of the tournament play for Canada in the Winter Olympics games. So this is a big deal. Ron Burgundy will be the color commentator. Here's what Ron said about the upcoming gig. Marked by the gods of broadcasting and placed into this shimmering green sphere like a golden egg in hay. Chosen like an unclean jackal by Noah himself, I accept your hallowed task and sing out with the battle cry worthy of your love and your wisdom. And that song is, Winnipeg, get ready to paint the town burgundy. So we will see that. If you have TSN, you'll see him doing the color commentary
when
for
is
the
that?
Curling. It doesn't say what the date of the event
must
is.
Must find.
But it's going to be.
Must find. I said to Kevin last week, Ralph, I know you don't listen to this show, but I said, as much as I love Will Ferrell as a man, as an actor, I would give him up for life if he would just be Ron Burgundy full time for the rest of his life. I would make that trade. I would trade the real Will Ferrell for a Ron Burgundy who exists on the earth.
I would not make that trade.
You would not?
No.
Pretty close, though.
But that mean we have to give up Ricky Bobby, too? Does he have
to go? Got to give them all up. Yeah. Got to give them all up just to have a real Ron Burgundy.
So we never experience Ricky Bobby?
Nope.
We never experience Blades of Glory? We never experience Casa de Mi Padre?
But he doesn't
that
seem to be going back to those anyway.
I love that film.
No, but they never existed, you're saying?
Oh, no. I'm saying now. I'm saying we make that trade now.
Well, then we get everything.
Right.
But there's no more future Will Ferrell. He only exists as Ron Burgundy. That's the deal I'm cutting.
But we have all the good films already. We've got so many good Will Ferrell films.
Wait.
Exactly.
It's hardly a price to pay.
Why do we have these two choices?
Because being lives in a weird world of Ultimates.
The hell?
Because Ron Burgundy is going to go away at Christmas once the Anchorman 2 opens. You're
or
not
will
gonna
he be back in Anchorman 3?
You're not going to have Ron Burgundy making Dodge Durango commercials and doing curling commentary. That won't happen anymore.
But they'll still be here, right?
Right, but what I'm saying
I think we can have both.
Okay.
What we're saying is...
Stop it.
We can have Ron Burgundy...
That's what we're saying.
...and Will Ferrell's other characters, because we're not working under some weird rules that you set up.
We don't live in your vacuum world.
What the hell?
Where things disappear and don't exist.
You can have them, but
you
gotta
feel pretty dumb, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Katie Cassidy. Oh,
yeah.
Remember we had her in here when she was on... Beverly Hills 90210, the remake?
Sure.
No, it was the Melrose Place remake she was
in. Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. She was lovely and could not be more charming. Now she's so good on Arrow, which now has Black Canary just kicking ass all over the place.
That's true.
And next, Barry Allen's going to appear.
I don't know who that is.
He's the Flash, Kevin!
All right, take it easy.
Oh, God, I hate you. Katie's 27 years old today. Jerry Ferrara, he was Turtle in Entourage and will be again when they make the movie. I would give up Jerry Ferrara if I could just have a turtle, real-life turtle in the world.
I don't think that deal needs to be made.
No, we could have a real turtle, and he could try to have harebrained schemes to raise money and sell tequila, and it would be wonderful to have a real-life turtle. Christina Applegate's 42. Tim Armstrong from Rancid is 47. Actor Billy Burke is 47 as well. And Eagles... Coach Chip Kelly, Philadelphia Eagles coach Chip Kelly, 50 years old.
Dude. No one cares about that.
Everyone cares about that.
Uh-huh.
Next weekend, Kevin, the Eagles face off against the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh. Are you in for a ass whooping?
I think there's a wager that is in the offing, needs to be made.
Right.
I'm already going to get my car washed by Jason Biggs. I wonder what you can wash for me, Kevin, if something goes south. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, how about Miss Double December 2014, you guys? How about the pageant fast approaching on December the 13th? That Friday morning, we're going to be down in Orange County at Fullerton at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen, crowning our Miss Double December. If you would like that to be you, ladies, please head on over to krock.com and sign up. You have to be 21 or over. Complete out your submission form, send in a couple of photos of yourself, and answer a little questionnaire and get online. And the close of our show on Wednesday, 10 a.m. is the deadline to have your submissions. And then starting next week, we'll have the top 10 finalists up on the website. Kevin and Bean listeners can vote. And then Miss Double December 2014 will be crowned on the 13th. Now, this is Acoustic Christmas, and this is the Weenie Roast, and this is Foolishness, Kevin and Bean Singles Parties. You become the beautiful face and boobs of the Kevin and Bean Show for 2014.
And you only have a couple days, like Bean said. It it runs out Wednesday at 10 a.m., so make sure and don't put it off much longer.
Let's talk about Bill Cosby. Now, that's a name that means something different to anybody listening, depending on how old you are. If you're of a certain age, maybe you remember Mr. Cosby from his Jell-O commercials. Maybe if you're a little bit older than that, you remember the Fat Albert cartoon series in the 70s. People who go back even further with Bill Cosby remember him being on I Spy back in the 60s and being the biggest stand-up comedian in the world. I mean, this guy regularly had albums at number one on the album chart of his stand-up comedy. He was that popular.
Really? He was the biggest in the world?
The biggest in the world, by far. No one could touch Bill Cosby. And he kind of has still been, you know, he's still been doing a few dates here and there throughout the year. But it has been over 30 years since he had a televised comedy special. And one aired this past Saturday night on Comedy Central. Bill Cosby had a brand new special that aired Saturday night called Far From Finished. I did not tune in to see it. Did any of you guys check it out?
I taped it in case it's good. In case I hear it's good.
I heard some clips. It sounded funny.
He's Bill Cosby.
Yep.
Let's find out how it went for the Cos himself. I believe he joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Cosby, what an honor to have you on the program, sir.
Kevin and Bean, on radio.
Right.
Okay, rock.
Right, how are you? How are you today?
Hey! Driving, being low, getting food, and it's a prison.
I am not making out what you are saying, sir.
Yes!
No, what I'm saying is I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Ah! Chris Tucker!
Right?
He did say that in that movie that one time, but I mean literally, I don't know what you're saying.
Well, you see, with the Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
Special on this weekend, and people keep saying that they're in prison, and I can't see them on TV, sir.
You lost me at Comedy Central this weekend. After that.
So, Far From Finished, your latest special. Are you okay? Far From Finished, yes.
And the name of the concert special.
Right.
Special,
right.
And it's also the saving with the Heaven's Burning Cousin.
All right, I missed that. But what I was going to say is your brand of comedy is different from many because you are not a topical comedian. You're not doing President Obama jokes or anything like that. You just talk about your family, basically. You talk about being a husband, having a wife, having kids, what that's like, right?
Yes!
Okay.
and you never seem to run out of material on that topic.
No, because, you see, with the feeding of the children... And all of this prison, well, they're going to put their air, is it their own government even, with serving and power.
I didn't get a single, I don't think I got a single word of that.
Yes.
So do people laugh or do they just look at you with a puzzled look on their face because they don't know what you're trying to tell them?
People come to see the show with the comedy.
Right.
And then I say funny things.
You say funny things, right. Okay.
Right.
Well, we know how comedy works.
Ah, yes.
I mean, we understand the concept.
Yes.
Why has it been 30 years since you've done it on TV, though?
Well, the last years, and for all the things with the growing and having sale and all percent, you can't be saying what it is to see. You see.
We don't see. Unfortunately, I don't see.
Pull your pants up.
Okay, that I got.
Stop cursing.
Yeah. Right.
You do yell at young people a lot.
Yes. With the cursing and the pants going down in the boomer now.
Right.
I wear sweaters.
You wear sweaters.
And eat pudding pops.
Right.
That is true.
I need to do that as well.
Well, Bill, welcome back.
Well, Welcome to the saying of all the great with the pudding and also with the salmon.
Right.
And to you as well, sir. Way to go, Lisa. Nice
what?
Job, Lisa.
What did I do?
What'd you do to the 405? Where's Terry Crews?
Well, he didn't leave in time. Duh.
Wow. Are you going to say that? You going to say that to his face when he
gets
here?
Yes, I am the traffic reporter.
All right.
I think I would know.
We're very excited to welcome Terry Crews from Brooklyn Nine-Nine to the program today, but apparently he's running a little bit late, so he'll be joining us at the top of the hour instead of now as we had planned. But that's okay, because we wanted to talk about this anyway. Ralph has been reporting this morning the continuing saga of what's going on with Jonah Hill's brother. His name is Jordan Feldstein. He got married over the weekend to Clint Eastwood's daughter. I know it sounds like we're playing Mad Libs here, but these are the real people involved in this wedding, okay? So they got married. They were married for less than a week?
Well, if it was this weekend, yeah.
Well,
it says
happened?
Here she's getting the week-long marriage annulled. So it sounds to me, seems to me like it just surfaced that they got married, and now they are getting an annulment. Now she is asking for an annulment. She had immediate regrets.
Oh my
apparently
God!
They ran into her. She was not wearing her wedding ring, and apparently it sounded like it was one of those lots of alcohol was involved. Hey, we're in Vegas. Let's get married. And I wonder how often that happens in Las Vegas. Look, say what you will about having to wait for a marriage license like you do in California and
right.
many other states. This doesn't happen nearly as much as it does in Las Vegas, where on a whim, you can run off and get married.
Yeah, and everything sounds funny when you're drunk.
Right?
Yeah, that would be so funny if we got married. That would be awesome.
Hey, Lord knows that's what happened to me, and here I am all these years later. I got married at the freaking Graceland Wedding Chapel in Las Vegas.
Well, you know how to roll.
So we started talking about, they were married for less than a week, and then somebody brought up Britney Spears. She was married for 55 hours, also in Las
that's
Vegas,
right.
when she married that Jason Alexander, remember? Kim Kardashian, of course, she was married to Chris Humphries for, what, 72 days?
Something like
we
that, yeah.
We started talking about these marriages that last less than 3 months. How do you go from, we're going to be together forever, I am pledging in front of our friends and God that I will never leave you, to, I never want to see you again as long as I live, let's get a divorce within a couple of weeks? How does that happen?
And by the way, things have to go south like halfway through that.
Right.
So 1 week into it, you know you made it a bad choice.
Right.
And so now you've got an extra week, and so that just keeps rubbing it in, and then finally you just decide, let's get it annulled.
So we want to hear from you, the Kevin Abid listener, about how long your marriages lasted. If you've had one of these incredibly brief marriages, I know there's a great story about it at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. We'll take your calls toll-free here on the Kevin Abid Show. I did a little research, brought up this article. We mentioned Kim Kardashian. We mentioned Britney Spears. Dennis Rodman and Carmen Electra. Did you remember that they were married?
I remember they were a thing.
Yes,
and I remember,
because you all are like, oh, no, now she's been there. Never
yeah.
mind.
Yeah. You don't ever want to follow Rodman.
No.
That's just my rule.
Carmen Electra's publicist at the time questioned the legality of the marriage, saying that Dennis Rodman may have been deeply intoxicated at the time. They claimed their love was legit, but they got they filed for an annulment 9 days after they got married. That's how long that one lasts. Mario Lopez and Ali Landry. Remember them?
Oh, yes.
I don't remember them being a couple, no.
Was it on the honeymoon? She found out he cheated?
They were together for 6 years, by the way. The marriage ended between the wedding and the honeymoon. They had not even left on their honeymoon yet when she found out that he had been unfaithful to her. And if I recall correctly, Lisa, wasn't it at the bachelor party? Isn't that the story got to her, like, after the wedding?
Yes.
That he had cheated on her at the bachelor party?
I think that's right.
And then somebody got up and said, reach under your chairs, and there's a videotape, and you should watch it.
here's another one. Nicolas Cage and Lisa Marie Presley. Remember how wacky Lisa Marie was? She used to marry all sorts of crazy people, including Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that was weird.
She was married to Nicolas Cage for 107 days.
Well, they gave it a good go. What do you want from these people?
Wouldn't you love to be a bug on that wall? A fly on the wall, whatever that is.
Here's one that
wherever
I...
Where the bugs are. I'd like to be there.
Be something on a wall.
Here's one that I totally forgot about. Renee Zellweger was married to country superstar Kenny Chesney for 225 days. Do you remember that one?
No.
They were married in May of 2005. They got married on the Caribbean island of St. John a mere 4 months after they met, but the marriage ended 4 months later. They also got an annulment, and Zellweger cited fraud, by the way. The fraud claim sparked rumors about Chesney's sexuality,
What? So if you don't have sex, then it's considered you can get it annulled?
Yes.
That's the deal?
That is correct, yes. Pam Anderson and Kid Rock, they were married for 122 days. So there's a long history of these super short marriages. A couple more, then we're going to go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. How about this one? Did you remember this one? 163 days for Drew Barrymore and Tom Green.
Oh, right.
I forgot about that.
They were engaged. This wasn't a fluke. They didn't rush into it. They were engaged for a year, by the way. They got married in July of 2001 and were divorced by Christmas.
Can you imagine being married to a guy who does nothing but repeat himself?
I know.
24/7.
Horrible.
And the last one on the list of top 10 short-lived celebrity marriages, although I don't see Cher and Greg Allman, who were married for 9 days on this list. That was another famous one. But Jennifer Lopez and Chris Judd were married for 218 days. Although Jennifer Lopez seems very difficult to be married to.
Yeah, I would think so.
What has she been through? Three or four, something like that? And she's like 35 years old? All right, let's take one real quick before the break. Let's do Edward. He's up first. He's on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about how short was your marriage and why. Edward, thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
How long was your wedding? I mean, your marriage?
70 days.
70 days.
That's Kardashian-esque. Yeah. What went wrong?
It all went wrong. We were drunken mess the whole time.
You were a drunken mess the whole time. So you didn't sober up for 70 days after you got married?
Pretty much.
Wow.
How long did you date before you got married?
Maybe 2 months. And we moved in 2 weeks after we started dating.
That's usually a formula for success. Oddly enough.
So once it was over, was it just one of those whirlwinds that you just shook your head and went, how did that, what just hit me? What happened?
When it was over, I said, God bless America, good times, and have a nice day.
All right. All right. Okay, I was hoping for a better ending, but okay.
I think she made the right choice. All right, Edward, thanks for the call. Well, take a break and come right back with your calls. How short was your marriage and why? 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Terry Crews joins us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Very talented and funny actor from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, plus Andrew Siciliano recaps the NFL weekend for us. First, talking about weddings, talking about marriages that maybe don't last as long as you thought they might when you said, I do. Let's go to Jennifer. She's up next. She's on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about marriages that lasted less than 3 months. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hello.
How long was your marriage?
17 days.
Yeah.
Well, you gave it the old college try. What went wrong?
I didn't know. We were out at a friend's house having a barbecue, and he just turned to me and said, I don't think I can do this anymore. I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, the marriage.
Wait, after 17 days?
How long had you guys dated before you got married?
2 years.
And how did it feel to you like the wedding or the marriage was going?
I thought everything was fine. We weren't fighting or anything.
That was a total shock.
Yeah.
Huh.
Did you ever find out what happened? Was there another woman?
No, he just disappeared.
Huh. There's more to the story. I guarantee there's more to the story.
Drugs.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I just never found out about it.
All right.
So, wait. So, you guys got a divorce. Did you not have, like, a long conversation with him to say, I demand an explanation?
I basically asked him, like, can we go to counseling? Is there anything we can do to fix this? Like, did I do something wrong? And he's like, no, you're just not worth it. And then I was done.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Did you remarry ever?
I haven't yet, but I do hope to someday.
You may not be worth it.
Apparently not.
I kid. We know all Jennifers are hot, and we thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate that. Wow. That hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Let's go to Myra. She's up next. She's on line one. She dreams of a 17-day marriage, right, Myra? You can't even imagine lasting 17 days.
I know. Mine only lasted 9 days.
How does a marriage only last 9 days?
Okay, so I was only 17, and we went to Las Vegas, and I was using my sister's ID.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, I was 25, and he was my mother's best friend's son. I had known each other our whole lives.
Right.
And I pretty much woke up the morning after with a huge dime on my hand, and I was laying next to him, and I demanded an explanation.
So you didn't have any memory of getting married to this guy?
No, until I saw the pictures, and I wasn't even wearing shoes because I had lost them somewhere from the casino to the courthouse getting our license.
Oh, my God.
So you were so drunk that you got married in Las Vegas, woke up, and didn't remember anything about it.
Exactly. But when,
How much did this guy want to have sex with you that he would marry you in Las Vegas?
Well, get this. So then he says that we had breakfast next day at the casino. He said he had loved me his entire life and hoped we could really make this work.
Okay.
But I had a boyfriend at home.
What?
Yeah. And then he got married to another. Okay. And then he left to France, so we couldn't get annulled.
You've got your story has everything.
Him. Yeah. It was a mess. I, like, ruined our parents' friendship because he loved me so much. His mother now will not speak to my mother.
Oh.
It's all my fault.
Sure.
And, yeah, he left to France. I had to pay a private investigator to basically find him.
See, and then He left for France? Why did he leave for France?
Because he's French.
Okay.
So he basically went back to the motherland.
Wow. What was the conversation like when you had to tell your mom that you had eloped to Las Vegas with this family friend?
Well, she found out from his mom because his mom or his dad got the credit card bill of him buying me the ring in Vegas on his dad's credit card. He was only 19. So she was pissed. It was like the worst. We had to end up getting divorced because it took so long for me to find France.
Oh, I ain't love grand.
Yeah. And then he got married to another girl maybe 6 months ago. And he got wasted and told the whole wedding party how much he really loved me. And he was just marrying her to get over it.
That guy has everything.
This is the best. This is the best. Myra, you're enchanting. Thank you, my dear. We appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. Let's do one more. Let's do Mac. And I only love this, even though it lasted 2 weeks, which is pretty long for our crowd. I love the way it ended. Mac, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You'll be our final call.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Thanks for having me once again. I've actually shared my story before. My marriage lasted 15 days.
15 days.
And that's the second marriage after my 80-day marriage. See, I own a sex toy shop.
So a sex toy shop.
Yeah, it's a little hard to tell girls these things. But the last time, I waited till the 80th day or around there, and I told her, and she immediately wanted out.
I don't understand why this doesn't come up on the first date. Hey, what do you do for a living, Mac?
It's. I don't know. It ruins every relationship I've ever had, so I decided to wait until they're in love with me so when they can handle it, but that's never happened.
Well, you wait till you marry them.
Yeah,
you're
seriously.
You're way past in love with you.
Why don't you tell them that at the beginning? That way you know whether they can handle it or not. And by the way, why wouldn't they be able to handle it? There's no shame or crime in selling sex toys.
There is definitely shame in that, my friend. Trust me.
And stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
You're going to cut out that breath because it just sticks out like a sore thumb.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
You are 1 hour away from winning your tickets to join us at the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. We got tickets for Saturday and Sunday, December 7th and 8th at the Shrine Auditorium. Every hour on the hour starting at 9 a.m. So that's about an hour from right now and then all throughout the day here on K-Rock. And all week long, get those details at KROQ.com. Terry Crews joins us after the top of the hour from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
Hey there. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We kick things off in each showbiz beat. The Hunger Games Catching Fire crushed the competition.
That was number one, was it?
Number one by little. It made $161 million this week.
So just squeaked into the number one spot
just
this week.
Barely getting past Thor the Dark World, which made $14 million. So, you know, roughly $150 million more just put it into the number one spot.
Wow.
The Best Man Holiday was third with $12.5 million. Then Delivery Man, the new Vince Vaughn film, $8.2 million, made it number four. Free Birds was fifth. Last Vegas, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, and the Dallas Buyers Club. Rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. This will make Jennifer Lawrence very happy, besides the fact she has the number one movie in the world right now. Kelly Osbourne has been put on vocal rest by her doctors for 2 weeks. Woo! No fashion police. No East fashion police. Oh, she's so ugly. Look at that dress. None of that harpy just going on about clothes.
Is that a regular show? That's not something they just trot out for awards?
No, it's a weekly show.
I didn't know that.
Oh. Her and Joan Rivers.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Look at her. Jennifer Lawrence famously said she hates that show because they act like it's okay to go on television once a week and just call people fat and poorly dressed.
Yeah, well.
And that is what they do. But Kelly Osbourne has to be quiet for 2 weeks.
That is sweet.
That's going to make everyone very, very happy. Last night, I'm hesitant to even talk about this because most of us were watching football last night. But apparently it was something called the AMAs. Mm-hmm. The American Medical Association, I guess, had some sort of
show. I believe it's Music Awards, American Music Awards.
Yeah. This was the one that was invented by Dick Clark, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's a BS one because the people vote.
Yeah, see?
Any award, including the presidency, by the way, where the people vote is honked up.
Always a bad idea.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
To show you how BS it is, the Artist of the Year award winner last night?
Yeah. Bieber?
No.
Somebody equally hateable?
Yes.
Tadolf Swindler?
Yes.
No!
Tadolf Swindler.
That's the one award they got right.
It was hosted by Pitbull. See what you missed?
Yeah.
Wow.
What show is my music 150% better?
He is exhausting, that guy.
Yeah. New Artist of the Year went to Ariana Grande.
Okay.
Best Single of the Year was Cruise, Florida Georgia Line featuring Nelly. That was the best single of the year. We all loved that song,
wow,
didn't we? Oh, couldn't stop playing it here on K-Rock. Favorite male artist, Justin Timberlake. Female artist, Taylor Swift. Favorite band, One Direction.
Blah, blah, blah. Is there a more meaningless award show?
Yes, there is.
People's Choice.
Right.
That even dwarfs this one.
At least, I mean, I didn't even watch the American Music Awards. I just fast-forwarded for Taylor's part. But at least when Jimmy Kimmel has hosted it in the past, at least it was worth tuning in for that because Jimmy brings the yucks. But Pitbull, he had
Pitbull
nothing.
Brings the yucks as well.
Yes, he does.
He's known for that.
Nothing but hype. And did you see any clips at all this morning of the Miley Cyrus performance, Ralph? Did you see?
No, but I heard it described. It was. I read a description of it.
Yeah, it was more of a fever dream than it was a performance. She comes out in some sort of like bathing suit or something with little cat prints on it. Mm-hmm. And then it had this weird like psychedelic space behind her with this huge, enormous, giant cat on a screen that was lip syncing along to the song that she was singing.
Yeah, the cat on the screen was singing along with her.
Yes, it was. I felt like I was definitely on drugs.
No. And say what you want about the Kardashians, but they have big hearts.
Is that right?
Kim Kardashian this week announced she is going to put all of her used clothing and accessories up on eBay as a fundraiser for victims of the typhoon in the Philippines. All of her haute couture stuff, all the stuff that she got from designers Dolce & Gabbana and Vera Wang and all of that stuff, she's putting it up for auction. And proceeds will go to the victims of the typhoon in the Philippines. Well, a portion of the proceeds.
A portion?
Well, 10% of all the profits will go to the victims of the
Where
typhoon.
Where does the rest go?
It goes to Kim Kardashian, Lisa.
Who desperately needs that money.
And I'm sure was given a large portion of that, of that clothing and
free
those accessories.
From the companies.
Free was sent to her. She's selling it. And then she's going to pocket 90% of the cash and give a piddling 10% to the typhoon victims. What a whore.
Bitch got no class.
Her family's worth gazabillions.
Yes.
Is that a number?
Yes, a gazabillion is several billions. And she's going to give 10%?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nuts.
And is Don on the phone?
Let's get Don on the phone. I'm furious.
Where is Don?
I'm going to do a damn Kardashian story after I have to kill a dog or something, whatever he said. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Billy Burke is 47 years old today. Rancid guitarist and singer Tim Armstrong is 47. Christina Applegate is 42. Jerry Ferrara, you know him as Turtle from Entourage. Soon to be seen on the big screen. Very exciting. He's 34. And actress Katie Cassidy. Not only is she blessed by the gods because her father is iconic superstar David Cassidy, but she's also a beautiful, talented actress in her own right. Currently can be seen on Arrow. She is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Bean, you remember when you were talking earlier this morning about being able to kick Terry Crews' ass?
I never said anything.
You remember that?
I
don't even like that.
Yeah, I kick his ass easy.
What the hell
well,
are
now
you talking
he's here
about?
And why don't you bring it?
Yeah, what?
How dare you? How dare you?
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, he is one of the stars of one of our favorite new shows on Fox, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Terry Crews joins us.
Hey, what's up? Good morning.
Mr. Crews. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm awesome. I'm feeling so good right now.
You are, we've been lucky enough to run into you a few times over the years, including down at Comic-Con. You always seem like you're having the time of your life when you're doing what many actors consider the worst part of the job, which is out there shaking hands and giving interviews. Well, what's the secret to your positivity?
The thing is, I realize how fortunate I am. That's the thing. I'm from Flint, Michigan. You know, I'm that Plinko chip that landed right on the $1 million spot because... You know what I mean? I could have went all the way to zero, or I could have got like the $5 thing, but I got the major real deal. I've survived a lot of different things growing up in Flint, Michigan, surviving the NFL, surviving.
How many years did you play in the NFL?
Oh, 7 years.
7 years.
Six teams in 7 years. You know, it's just, I really survived a lot, and I'm just so thankful. There's so many ways this could have gone wrong.
Yes.
Well, I'm good.
Before we talk about the acting, and you have had a very long and very successful career in acting, including right up until the present day with this Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Tell us how you feel as a 7-year NFL veteran, and of course you played in college before that. How what's your body feel like in the morning when you wake up?
You know, I feel wonderful. I work out still. I mean, I'm a big fitness fanatic. If you can't tell, I'm about 4% body fat right now.
I'm 40.
What I have to say is a lot of guys, when they're done, see, one thing is the NFL, most athletes only work out because a coach is telling them to. And
is that right?
Yeah, it's really weird. It's once you get out of the sport and get out of the thing, the strangest thing for me was actually paying for my gym membership. It was crazy. I just showed up at the gym. I was like, I want to work out here. They were like, okay, that's $25. I was like, what? What? $25 a month? I have to pay to work out? Because I was so used to just having a coach tell me what to do. Once I started doing it myself, I started to realize why guys stopped. Because there's no coach anymore.
Yeah.
And what happens is your body turns on you later. If you're in a good shape and all that stuff. When you look at guys, even basketball players turn around and they're like 500 pounds in like 10 years. It's crazy.
It's ugly, yeah.
I determined I wasn't going to be that way. And because of that, I feel good. I'm still here. I feel good. I'm 45 and I feel like I'm 20.
What's the come down like when you realize you've played your last professional football game and now you're still a young man and you realize you've got the bulk of your life ahead of you? What, I mean, most players, and this is there's a lot of talk about how the NFL isn't setting up players for what happens after the game.
Yep.
Most players are just rudderless at that point. How did you feel?
Well, I was totally depressed. And I mean, when I say depressed, it was in the dumps. Down to it's like a toilet. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just kept spinning and spinning. And the thing about depression is that you can't get out of it yourself.
Right.
There's no way. And it's just self-help is not a true statement. You can't pull yourself out. You need somebody to reach down in that toilet and pull you out. And for me, it was my wife. But I was down, man. I mean, because the fact is, you know, it's such a short time, but you spend your whole life preparing for it.
Sure.
And then in your mind, you think, oh, my God, the best thing that's ever happened to me has already happened.
It's gone.
It's over. And wait, you got freaking 70 years left. You know what I'm saying? And it's so psychologically damaging. And my big thing is to tell NFL players, to tell athletes, yo, your best days are still ahead of you. They're still ahead of you. Do not stop. But the problem is that – you know, the NFL is so big, or yeah, your sport is so huge, and you maybe are get cut or you're done, and you're still in the city where the team is playing.
Yeah.
So all you hear about is the team and all this. Mm-hmm. The best thing I ever did when I got cut and I was done with the league, I moved to L.A. where there was no team.
Ah.
And then on Sunday, I would keep the TV off.
Really?
To this day,
you can't watch?
No, I'm good now.
You're good now.
Oh, I'm good now.
So you watch the NFL.
But during my depression,
of course not.
I turned it off, and all of a sudden you realize, wait, the sun is still rising.
Yeah.
Birds are still singing.
Yeah.
People don't really care that deep. You know what I mean?
And I still have a family, and I still have other things to be grateful for.
Exactly.
Right?
Now,
did you have a post-football plan? Were you going to be an announcer? Did you want to be an actor? What was the plan?
This is the thing. I never wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be behind the scenes. I was an artist. I had an art scholarship before I had a football scholarship. I never wanted to act. I wanted to write. I wanted to produce. I actually thought I was going to be an animator or a special effects artist. That's what I thought. I moved
anything
out here.
Anything but acting.
Anything. No, literally. It's crazy. I came out here and went broke. The whole thing, I was doing security while I was waiting for my break as a writer, producer. And people used to come up to me like, dude, you need to act, man. You got to look. And I was like, oh, that's good. Excuse me, sir. You can't stand here. And I would move them off. But this is what once my friend made me go on an audition. He made me. He was like, dude, you got to go. I tell you, you got to. First thing I ever auditioned for, I got. It was a TV show called Battle Dome, which was like a version of American Gladiators and kind of thing.
Who cares what it was? You got it.
Yeah. My first job in entertainment, they put me in a cage, set the ends on fire, and I had to wrestle three guys out of the cage. That was my first job in entertainment. So I'm ready for anything right now. You know what I mean?
How do you, maybe this is an unfair question to ask you, but I have to rank you very near the top of successful NFL stars turned actors. I mean, you think about guys like Carl Weathers, obviously, and O.J. Simpson, and Alex Karras, and guys like that. But, I mean, in terms of the length of your career and how successful you've been, you got to be near the top, Terry.
But, you know, I was not a superstar player. That is the thing. I was allowed to come in, and no one knew who I am. It's weird because I became an actor, and then everybody found out I played in the NFL.
Oh, I see.
The hard thing is for an NFL player to humble himself and to get down, because you got to start. It's like having a CEO of a corporation. All of a sudden, you got to start again from the bottom. You're sweeping floors at a new career. They can't do it. It's super, super hard. Well, me, I wasn't a star, so nobody knew who I was, and it was hard because people only let you have one dream. You know, you're only allowed one dream.
So if you want to play in the NFL, okay, that's it.
Yeah. They say you're out. Like I said, if Brad Pitt would have hit the Powerball, they'd be like, man, this is ridiculous. It's not fair. It's not. They make him give the money away. Or they kill him. You know?
So with all the roles that you had, and you were working pretty steady, was it really, I'm guessing, Expendables is when everybody started to kind of know your name and you became really well known as an actor, right?
Well, no. You know what? This thing, I've been famous in certain circles. It's weird. There's stages of fame. It's weird. I got famous in the hood first. I did a movie called Friday After Next. I couldn't go south of the 10. It was like, hey, man, that's that dude right there. Yeah, that's that dude, right? And then I did a movie, White Chicks. White chicks got me famous in the mall. I couldn't go in the mall. There were 13-year-old white girls were running after me. Their fathers were like, Amber, get back here. How do you know him? How did you know that man?
That's when all the girls fell in love with you.
I don't know your daughter, sir. I have no idea.
That man looks scary.
And then Longest Yard hit. And then the Old Spice commercials hit. And then Idiocracy hit, which got me famous with the comedians and all this. So it's like different stages of fame. And then, Everybody Hates Chris came. And it was like I was famous in the churches. And they're like, he's such a good father. That's just he's a good man. I love you.
And so you hit everybody with all the different stuff.
Everybody. I got my own. I have to wait. When I come up to people, I have to wait to see what they mention. And then I go, oh, yeah, okay, you're that fan. You know what I'm saying?
That is funny.
Expendables is just crazy. People run up to me in the airport and screaming, and it just took me worldwide, which is what an actor's dream is.
Sure.
Terry Crews is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. His latest job is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is one of our very favorite shows. It's going to be, it's Tuesday nights at 8:30 on Fox. But you guys are moving, right? You guys are...
Yeah.
You're moving on the schedule, right?
Yeah, we're moving. They're going to put New Girl in front of us, and we're going to go to 9:30, and then they're going to put Glee at 8 to 9. The whole thing. My thing is, I just work.
You just do your job. Put you wherever.
That's the thing. That's not my deal. You know what I mean? My thing, and everybody on our show, let me tell you, our cast gelled from the pilot.
Want to talk about that because we are big, big fans, and we've had Andy on a couple times. In fact, the things he said about you when he was just here last week, he loves you. Andy Sundberg loves you, Terry, and we're glad you're here. And we'll take a break and come back and talk more with our guests right after this on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. You will see him in theaters again next year in The Expendables 3. We're talking to actor Terry Crews here on the Kevin Bean Show, one of the stars of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You were starting to talk as we took a break at the end there, Terry, about this awesome cast and how hard it is to create that chemistry. I mean, you guys, the casting director, just lightning in a bottle to have all you people working together on this show.
Well, Dan Gore and Mike Schur knew what they were doing. They literally got the cast that, you know, the most interesting people they could find, and everybody who wanted to be there, wanted to work. And we got there, and it was like we were working for like 5 years before, and this was the pilot.
Right.
And we
felt like you knew each other, you knew the show, you knew everything that was going on.
It was sick. And, you know, and it starts with Andy, man. I mean, Andy Samberg is the future of comedy. I had some choices as to what shows I was going to get on. There was a couple pilot offers and the whole thing. But I knew being with Andy Samberg would be my ticket, because you're only as good as the people you work with. That's it. You know what I'm saying? If you work with somebody who sucks, it's all of a sudden your performance just starts to go down.
Right.
And Andy is a guy who's a young comedian, but he is all about the work. He works so hard to make it look effortless. You know what I mean? Me and Andre Brower watch this guy because, again, we're the older, you know, crew in the bunch. And we're like, dude, we can't put our careers on somebody who's out there goofing around.
Right, sure. Right,
Andy is the real deal, and he's funny as hell.
And by the way, you talk about this cast. I mean, there are a lot of people who everybody listening would recognize their faces but don't know their names. Like Joe Lotruglio was one of those guys who you've seen in like a million shows and movies, and he's always hilarious. Chelsea Peretti is another one, the comedian.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a talented, deep cast. I mean, I just think this show is so funny. Now, did you know Andre Brower at all before this?
No, not at all. I didn't know any of
the cast. Because I would be intimidated as hell to show up on a set with Andre Brower. I mean, he's one of the great TV actors of all time.
I know. I was scared, man. I was scared. It was like working with Sir Alec Guinness, you know what I mean? I was like, dude, I'm a dumb football player. I'm like, dude, I gotta take some acting classes. Listen, I've been acting for 14 years. I was like, damn it, I gotta get better. And I mean, he's like, hello, Terry, how are you? I was like, man, my voice can't even sound that good. But, you know, we were nervous, man. I ain't gonna lie. It was like, you don't want, you know, some super actor to come in and judge everything you're doing. And Andre was... It's just the best dude. He's hilarious. The whole thing. We kind of tested him. Andy and I, we were like singing the song from Glory. You know, that, oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Right. And he looks over and he's like, what are you doing? And we're like, uh-oh, I know. I'm singing song from Glory. And he goes, oh, my Lord. And he joins
and
in.
And right then you were like, all right.
We're like, I love you. I love you, Andre Brower. And it's been the best time ever.
If somebody would have come up to you in your playing days, Terry, and said, one day you're going to be done with football, you're going to be an actor, and you're going to be on a hit show that is going to be aired after the Super Bowl, it would have just blown your mind.
No,
right?
I would have backslapped him. You know what I mean? With a backhand. Psh, you know, no, liar, liar. It wouldn't, I would, you know what's weird? Because I have now more than I can ask or think. And this is why I'm so happy. People are like, you're so happy. But I'm like, dude, look at where I am.
Yeah.
Look at what I'm doing. If it ended now, I'm good. You know what I mean? I know that.
You were saying during the record that if you were able to go back to the NFL right now, not a chance.
No, not a chance, brother.
Not the least bit interesting.
No way. I mean, you know, the NFL, you got to have some pain. You got to play with some pain. It's that desire to, you know, you're like, this is the only way I'm ever going to make it. It's like boxing, and it's like the MMA. You know, you don't get great boxers out of Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah, true.
It doesn't happen. You got the reason I even played football in the first place was to make it out of the hood. That's it. Most athletes, and this is what the thing that the NCAA and a lot of people capitalize on, is your desire to eat. Okay.
Right.
And they go, hey, man, this is the thing. This is your scholarship. This is the reason why a coach over at Rutgers could throw a basketball at people's head. And the guys don't say anything.
Yeah.
Because you know what? They know they're going to go home to the hood if they get kicked out. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's one of those things where once you get something beyond that, all athletics loses its power. It becomes a game. then it becomes just you play for fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's where things need to be. I always felt like sports should stay in the fun stage. When it stops being fun, don't do it anymore. Me, right now, I always, always do everything for, you know, for my fun. I don't take a job unless I like it. I don't do anything for money. And when I played in the NFL, I did it for fun. But when it stopped being fun, I was out. I was like, I got to move on. I'm ready to do something else. And that is a well-adjusted person.
Boy, I'll say. And so rare. Terry, what's the secret to, forget being an athlete, what's the secret to anybody being able to stay married to one woman for 24 years?
Wow.
That's got to be so rare in your business, particularly, both of your businesses.
You know, first of all, it takes a series of humbling admissions. I had to realize that I had to be compassionate to my family. I had to be empathetic. A lot of things you see on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and the character Terry Jeffords is me.
It is.
I am that sensitive. I had to learn to be. The Marlboro Man goes off into the sunset, and he's alone, okay?
Yeah. Right.
And the wife doesn't talk to him, and the kids don't know him, okay? I was that guy. I'm the manliest man ever. I've knocked people out in bars. I've done the NFL. I did all that stuff, but I couldn't talk to my family. I wouldn't open up. I wouldn't say, honey, I'm lonely. Honey, I need you. I wouldn't do those things. It was all hardcore. And then until my wife was like, I'm gone. I was like, wait a minute. What is this? What? I'm giving you money. I'm doing it. She's like, honey, it's over. I was like, what? And those wake up calls make you realize what's really important. And every guy needs it.
Yeah.
You need it. Sometimes you don't get in shape until you get that diagnosis that says, uh-oh. And I've had a series of those. And my wife loves me. And she said, as long as I was willing to change, she was willing to stay with me. And I said, now I got to keep changing. I got to keep finding out who this woman is every day. It's not a thing where things are not automatic. More people put their energy into their job and studying their job than they do their marriage or their kids. I started to study. I started reading books. I said, man, I got to be a better father. I got to understand what this is. I got to learn empathy. I got to learn compassion. And it changed my life. It changed who I am. And it allowed my wife to stay with me and us go. I mean, this stuff happened like 10 years ago, but now we look at it, it's like, wow, we're still here and we're getting better. And I love her more every day. I mean, it just gets better and better.
All perfect right, human you're being. Better than we are.
No, let me tell you, my wife will be right here telling me I kept up with this asshole. I put up with it. It takes a very special woman to put up with Terry Crews. Okay? Let me just tell you that right now.
Well, he is a terrific human being and a fine, fine actor. And I'm telling you, if you've not checked out Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you guys don't know what you're missing. It is one of the funniest shows on TV. It airs for now Tuesdays at 8:30 on Fox. And again, you can see a special episode after the Super Bowl next year. Mr. Crews, thank you so much for the time.
Guys.
Sir.
Thank
we
you.
Enjoyed it.
I was preaching today. I'm sorry.
About 20 minutes away from your first chance this morning to win tickets for the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up at the Shrine Auditorium weekend of December 7th. Get your details at krock.com. Tickets every hour all day long from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. today on the world-famous K-Rock. How great was Terry Crews, by the way?
He's the best.
He's awesome.
I want to be him when I grow up.
I know.
I want to party with that guy.
Speaking of the NFL, how about our friend Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone and the NFL Network's Around the League Live? Hi, Andrew. How are you, man?
I want to be you guys when I grow up. I do, really. True story.
Andrew, I may have this a little bit wrong, but you are the commissioner of the NFL. Am I correct about that?
That is correct. I'm Roger Goodell. I earn $14 million a year.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Why can't you figure out a way to not have ties in 2013? Why can't you work that out?
What's wrong with the occasional tie? And I really do mean this. I think it's kind of cool. They don't happen very often. Often they happen like once a year, even if that. They're different. They're frustrating. They're cool.
How do you go from frustrating to cool?
All right, you almost had two of them last night. There have not because of the Broncos-Patriots game. I mean, it was close to a tie, certainly. We have not had two ties in a week in 40 years, and the last time it happened, one of the games was at Yankee Stadium, and one of the games was up at Cal at Memorial Stadium. That's how, that's much of a different era.
All right, but
like
let me ask you this. The two games that you mentioned, which one was more satisfying to you as a football viewer, seeing an overtime Patriots field goal to win the game or watching the teams walk off the field in the NFC North game with the Packers-Vikings tie? Which one felt better to you as an NFL fan?
Well, neither felt good, but I would say that if last night tied. I think it would be fitting. In the 14th meeting between Manning and Brady, where the elements were truly the central factor in the game, these two great quarterbacks in a tale of two totally different halves.
Right.
One where the Broncos dominate, one where the Patriots dominate. At the end, it's a draw, and you're left wanting more. You're left wanting to see them meet in January in even colder weather in the playoffs.
No, you know what you're left wanting? Some kind of an outcome for that game. They all put a lot of work into that.
You're left wanting to go to bed.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. I don't understand why there needs to be ties. I mean, we don't have ties in baseball. We don't have ties in basketball. Why do we need ties in football?
You had them for 30 years in hockey, didn't you? Or 100 years for that matter.
Yes, and you know what? They wised up and changed the rules so it doesn't happen anymore.
Well, I don't know all the intricacies of hockey because I'm an American, but don't they have the shootout?
Yeah, they do a shootout.
I can't believe I'm admitting this on the air.
They do a shootout, yeah, in hockey.
Okay. But and they have the winner now, or do they have like the tie and the shootout winner? Because they've gone through like nine different ways of doing it. They used to give like 1 point and then a half a point and then eight. I mean, how does it work?
Right, but you know, here's the important point, Andrew, and that is that they're trying to not have ties. Okay. You know what I mean? Like that's their goal, and so they've tried many different things. Look, I'm a fan of soccer. Ties blow. It just seems like when you're watching a sport and you end where you started score-wise, then what's the point?
I got you.
Okay.
Change it.
Hey, hold on. Back up 1 second.
Yeah.
A team that tied last year, the San Francisco 49ers, came right within one play of winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
Didn't ruin their season.
Okay, but we're not saying that good teams are involved in ties also. That's not our point. Our point is there shouldn't be any ties. That's our point. All right.
They say it's like kissing your sister.
Moving on. Is this 2 weeks in a row we have had fans at NFL games jump or fall out of the upper deck of a stadium? And is this a disturbing trend to you?
All right. So I haven't heard. I will plead ignorance. This one. I think there's some. Was it in Oakland?
Yes. A woman tried to commit suicide. Yeah, it's a good guess. As a Raiders fan, why wouldn't you try to commit suicide? She apparently jumped off of the upper deck at Oakland Coliseum, and somebody got under her to try to save her. They both ended up in the hospital, but she is alive.
All right. Go ahead.
We just had that tape, was it last week, of that guy sliding down the rail on the upper deck of, I think, the Buffalo Stadium. It just seems crazy. Are we going to get to the point now where they're going to have to put a cage, some sort of a roof over all the stadiums so nobody can do this? It's insane.
Well, they do that in South American soccer stadiums. Have you ever been there? Seriously. I went to a game 2 years ago in Buenos Aires in Argentina in the famous Boca Stadium where Diego Maradona had played his soccer for years, and the visiting fans are on the upper deck in a cage. I'm not kidding. I will tweet the photos later. They are in cage. The entire section has fencing around it.
Yep.
And they set off their flares. I don't think we're going to get to that part. The one last week was just a drunken idiot, if I could say that. The guy's been banned from the stadium. He was actually fired from his job. And there is video of it because CBS had a wide shot, a bum shot, starting the third quarter. And you could see the guy sliding down a railing in the upper deck. Have you guys seen the video?
I haven't seen
that. Yeah. I've seen the video. Yeah.
He's sliding down the railing, and then he goes over the side. And believe it or not, the person, I believe, who he landed on was injured more than the idiot who slid. The Bills announced the next day he's banned from the stadium, and later in the week, through the negative publicity, he was fired at his job. So please don't slide down railings.
So don't do that.
No.
All right. Andrew Siciliano on the phone. He is, of course, the host of one of the hosts, the fine hosts on NFL's Around the League Live, which you'll see this afternoon at 3 o'clock. You'll be recapping all the weekend action and looking ahead toward what probably will be a terrible game tonight, right? I would imagine the 49ers-Redskins is just going to be a blowout.
You guys are so negative. No, I actually think that the Redskins are desperate. First of all, they're not very good. They can't stop anybody. They have an historically bad defense. But this game is interesting because you have two quarterbacks that last year set the world on fire.
Yeah,
they were
our
magazine cover boys. Kaepernick took the Niners to the Super Bowl. RG3, I believe, is going to run for president. tomorrow.
Sure.
And this year, they're totally different. Now, RG3 doesn't have a good team around him, unlike Kaepernick. So the record is pretty pathetic. But this week in Washington, it is crisis level. They are not talking about the Affordable Care Act. They are talking about the fact that RG3 last Sunday seemingly threw his coaches under the bus. He said everything the Eagles did, or we did, the Eagles knew what was coming. And it was from the passive-aggressive 101 playbook. And then the teammates started telling him publicly that he needed to take more responsibility.
Uh-oh.
The coach is on the hot seat. He has 1 year left in his deal, and he could be canned soon. You know, our Ian Rappaport on NFL Network, or Mike Silver, rather, reported yesterday that at Baylor, when he was in college, that the coaches didn't put RG3's bad plays on video in team meetings. In other words, we go through what we did right and wrong. Hey, RG3, you did this wrong. They didn't do it, and that he allegedly asked the coaches in Washington, please don't show my bad plays in team meetings. And
oh,
they said,
wow.
No. Now, Mike Shanahan has since denied that story, but I trust Mike Silver's.
All right, so does this all work in their favor, their desperation, and all of this stuff coming together so that they have to win this game, or does it actually hurt them? Work against
them? I think it comes in their favor. I don't know
you
if they're going to win the game, but I think it's a heck of a lot closer game than you would think.
Then it looks,
that's
all
just
right.
me, and I'm not telling it. But that's what I think.
Fantastic. 3 o'clock this afternoon on the NFL Network. And then, of course, Sundays, it wouldn't be a Sunday without Andrew Siciliano, DirecTV in the Red Zone. You are the best, man. We always appreciate your time Mondays on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much.
Love you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9. Ralph is here on a Monday morning, taking another look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, stuff.
Good stuff,
things.
Bad stuff.
All, both.
Good things, bad
all.
Things.
Yes. Let's start off Monday by taking a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one, they knew it was going to do well. I don't know if they expected this much. $161 million for The Hunger Games: Catching Fire. $161 million.
Wow.
Yeah, that's all right.
Worldwide, it's made well over $300 million. Easily outpacing the first film, which made $211 million in its debut in March of 2012. So... very impressive.
And they've got two more still to come, I guess.
Yeah, they're taking the last book and splitting it into two movies. That's what I understand. Thor the Dark World was number two with a paltry $14 million. Get out of my face, Thor, you loser.
$161 million to $14
million. Yeah. Best Man Holiday was third, then Delivery Man, the new Vince Vaughn film. Kevin and I both saw that over the weekend. Enjoyed it.
Saw it together. We were holding hands.
We did. That's popcorn
sweet.
Trick.
Very nice.
$8.2 million made it number four. Free Birds was fifth. Las Vegas. Bad Grandpa, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, and Dallas Buyers Club. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Looks like Josh Brolin finally bit the bullet and admitted that he might have a little trouble with the old Boozerini.
Did he put it that way?
Yep. He might have trouble with the old Boozerini, he said.
That's how we knew he really had a problem.
He has hopped on the wagon. This is according to Us Weekly magazine. He is sobering up at a rehab facility in North Carolina. Poor choice, Josh. I recently spent 3 days in North Carolina and
not
never,
good times?
Never wanted to get more drunk in my life than I did while I was there. He was popped for public intoxication charges in January, spotted getting into a few drunken arguments last month, so it may be time to reassess, which he seems to be doing. Big lawsuit going on between the Bee Steve Boys and this company called Goldie Blocks. Goldie Blocks is a company that believes, and I think I support this as a dad of a young daughter. They support the idea that, you know, not every toy for a little girl has to be a doll or a princess or a tiara or a magic wand or a feather.
Right, they
boa.
Should have cooking utensils too. Brooms. Mm-hmm. Dustbins, things like that.
Dustbins? Oh, really? should they have dustbins, Stewie?
Well, when you use a broom.
Dustbin. Dustpan? You mean a dustpan?
Is that what it is? I got a dustbin. Okay, dustpan, that's fine.
A dustbin?
Nobody calls it a dustbin.
Dustbin is a British term for a trash can.
Okay, I'm confused then. All right, so girls get princess toys, cooking toys, cleaning toys. What else did they need?
Good.
That's your
for
point.
You. I hope you feel good about yourself.
No, they need other stuff. They need things that teach them about building and inventing.
Science.
Science.
Science. Science.
Silence. you know, blocks and things and stuff.
Sure.
Things will teach them to be engineers and to invent things and create things.
I don't see why. I'll tell you that.
So they did this commercial
which shows the girls putting together what they call a Rube Goldberg-type contraption. If you ever played the game Mousetrap, you know what I'm talking about. Something leads into something else, and then it slams into something else. We featured this video on the Internet Roundup last week.
Yep.
So they use a version of the song Girls by the Beastie Boys with the lyrics altered. Here's a little taste.
It's time to change.
See, girls use their brains.
More than Princess May.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Good idea. Well, Beastie Boys are suing them.
Are they?
Yeah. Because they didn't get permission for the Beastie Boys song, Girls.
Well, I mean, technically they're right.
They are absolutely right. 100% right. However, Goldieblox is saying, oh, no. The song, it's a parody of Girls. Because, you know, Girls was all about do my laundry and stuff like that. The Beastie Boys version, they're saying that it's the opposite of that. So it's a parody of that song.
Ah.
To which the other side is saying, well, but you're using it for commercial gain. It's not as if you're doing it on a radio show or
That's
something
true.
Like that. So it's hardly fair use. So this apparently is going to go to court. And the Beastie Boys want girls to suffer. And
I don't think
they want little girls to fail.
I don't think that's true.
So that's what they're doing. Now, here's the problem. Even if they wanted to let them use the song, the surviving members of the Beastie Boys, there is a clause in the will
of
which one passed away?
One of
which one
them.
Passed away?
Wasn't it Ad-Rock?
Ad-Rock. Yes, his will said they can never use the songs for any commercial
venture. I think it was MCA.
Anytime. Anyway, the dead one.
Okay, right.
The dead one in his will said that you can't use any of their songs for any sort of commercial enterprises. So even if they wanted to give them permission, they can't because of that legal hook. So this doesn't look good for Goldieblox in the courtrooms. I like Girls. I think they should be able to do stuff.
I agree.
Yeah. And Rodney Dangerfield's widow. I understand loving somebody. And when they're gone, you want to keep something of theirs.
Right.
A little memento.
Sure.
Some women wear their husband's wedding ring around their neck. Joan Dangerfield said her husband, Rodney, of course, was legendarily a big sweater. He would sweat a lot on stage.
Yeah.
And she got the idea from watching Elvis Presley. You know, he would wipe his face with a stained handkerchief and then give it to his fans. And those handkerchiefs in the wake of his death have sold for a lot of money. Joan Dangerfield has a sweat collection.
Nope.
Yeah, of her husband. The bodily fluids mean a lot to her, she says.
Nope.
And she keeps them safely stored in a Tupperware container.
To keep the
sweaty handkerchiefs
nope.
Fresh and still moist with the sweat, so they are in a Tupperware container. And she's keeping his memory alive through his perspiration. I'm going to roll. Saying she loves him so much, she's got a collection of his sweat. A lot of sweat in a Tupperware can. Today's celebrity birthdays. Katie Cassidy is 27 years old today. Actor Jerry Ferrara is 34 years old. Christina Applegate turns 42. Rancid singer and guitarist Tim Armstrong is 47 years old. And actor Billy Burke celebrates his 47th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hector Carmona from Covina just won tickets for night number 2 of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. That means he's going to be there on Sunday, December 8th at the Shrine to see Arcade Fire in Phoenix, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, Lord, Portugal the Man, Fits in the Tantrums, Atlas Genius, and Bastille. We'll be giving away tickets to alternating nights every hour on the top of the hour all day long today on K-Rock. So you can win them at 10, win them at 11, win them at noon, all the way up till 6 o'clock. Get those details at krock.com.
Ralph did a story in the Showbiz Beat about the cotton ball diet. You soak cotton balls in like orange juice, and then you eat them, and they fill up your stomach, and you feel full, but you don't have calories, so that's a great
Perfect.
Diet.
It's a win-win. What could be wrong with that?
I don't know. Is it okay to eat cotton balls?
No, it isn't, according to ABC News.
All right, right now, it's a trend that just sounds too bizarre to be true, but it is. Eating cotton balls to lose weight. Our Nicole Grigg looked into this latest extreme diet and found out it's something that your kids may already know about.
YouTube videos
this is a cotton ball.
Of young girls eating cotton balls.
Just gonna dip it.
And from there, after they drench the cotton balls, they eat it. You can see it takes a while to chew, then swallow the cotton balls.
Wait a second. Why can't she say cotton?
Wait a second.
Why can't
Kick of Mexico has a sister?
They're eating cotton balls.
Didn't she?
She's doing this for fun.
Your teen probably already knows about this extreme trend of dipping cotton balls into orange juice because it's all over Facebook and Twitter.
Why wouldn't you just eat some food and then go exercise?
No. Marta Wright is a dietitian with the Kettering Health Network. She says the cotton balls are being used to feel full without any of the calories.
The other problem is that they can have bowel blockages, so they could end up in the hospital by doing this.
That seems bad.
Yeah.
We wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave to find up a local diet doctor for us, and apparently this is a celebrity diet doctor to the stars. Dr. Jack Danby joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Dr. Danby, thanks so much for the time, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. Glad to hear it.
How are you today?
Danby, diet doctor to the stars.
Right. Indeed. Now,
Dr.
this...
Diet, they call me. Dr. Diet Doc- Danby.
Dr. Diet, all
Dr.
right.
Dr. Diet, okay. Are you familiar with this cotton ball diet? Have you heard about this?
Cotton ball, yeah. That's a good one. We've been using that for years. People just catching on to cotton balls.
But they say that the cotton balls is kind of bad for you. It could hurt your digestive system.
Those being fat, that's bad for you too.
Well, yeah.
Especially in Hollywood, especially if you're an actress. Now, I'm not at liberty to talk about my clientele, obviously, doctor-patient privilege.
Right.
But let's say... If you had a small sum, what would you call it? It was a small sum. Oh, that's a blank sum of money.
Small.
A tiny sum? A little sum? A petite sum?
Poultry! Yeah.
When is poultry?
Oh, what? I can't confirm or deny that she's my patient. But she's been doing this for years.
She's been eating cotton balls?
Oh, cotton all day long. That's all she does. Sometimes it makes you incontinent. But the cotton, you soak it in anything, pomegranate juice, anything, what have you. The favorite juice of the day, vodka, whatever she likes.
Sure.
And then you chew them up and swallow them. And it keeps you thin. It keeps you successful. It keeps you in Iron Man movies, you know?
Now, Dr. Danby.
I can't talk about who my patients are.
Right. We're not asking you to.
What's the spice that licorice is made out of? You know what the spice is that make licorice out of?
Anise.
I really don't.
Anise. Yeah, what if you had a lot of that? Like a ton of it. What would it be? It would be anise ton?
Oh,
Jennifer Aniston.
I can't confirm it or not.
Yes. Jennifer Aniston.
But she's also using my other very popular diet, which is called the cement diet.
The cement
where
diet.
Instead of mixing cotton balls in orange juice, you just stir in some quickcrete concrete. You just stir that in there and just swallow it down.
How's that a diet?
Well, it fills your stomach and intestines with cement.
Well, that's horrible. That could kill a person.
No, not really.
Well, yes, really.
No, no. No, she's going to live well to see her wedding, I think.
Okay.
But once your stomach and your intestines are filled with concrete, then you don't have to worry about blockages because there's nothing going through there. Nothing gets blocked because nothing, you're not eating any food anymore because you're always full. You're constantly full. You're eternally full.
That seems like a terrible, terrible plan to lose weight.
It's an excellent plan to lose
weight.
It's an excellent plan. You will lose weight, I promise you.
Because you don't eat.
Because you don't eat. You never eat again.
Yeah.
That's what every girl wants. That's what everybody dreams of. That's why I'm the diet doctor.
Yeah, and you are an actual medical doctor, though, right?
As far as you know, I am, yes.
That's my concern, yeah.
And also, we have the verbal diet as well.
A what?
The verbal diet is very popular.
The verbal diet?
Yes. For $500 an hour, I follow you right. Don't eat! You're fat! I scream that at you every time you pick up some food. That works.
That seems like maybe the safer way to go of the three.
Yeah, it worked for Tila Tequila. Whoops, did I say that loud?
Yes, you did, as a matter of fact.
It worked for, what's that booze you drink that's in the margarita?
Tequila.
I can't confirm it or not.
Right, okay.
Singing A-Hole?
Yep.
That's what I'm singing. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 till 10.
Don't forget, about 20 minutes away from your chance to win tickets for night number one of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. That's going to be December 7th at the Shrine. Details at KROQ.com. Tickets every hour, all day long, throughout the day until 6 p.m. Ralph is here, time for the Showbiz Beat now. What's going on?
Talk about tickets. Tickets, ha! Tickets. 2 o'clock this morning, I was up 2 o'clock this morning, set my alarm to get up, get on the intrawebs.
Mm-hmm.
Get my tickets for the reunion of Monty Python.
That is a terrible time for your schedule.
Yes.
To get up at 2 a.m.
Trust me, I was well aware of that.
And then have to be up at 4 a.m.
Yeah. You know what the worst part is? Going back to sleep at 2:30 and then getting up again at 4, you're never been angrier in your life when that happens.
But it was worth it.
It was worth it because I scored tickets to the reunion of Monty Python playing at the O2 Arena in London, England.
Yeah!
How about that?
I was very happy with myself. It sold out in less than a minute. But with my lightning quick fingers,
wow,
I was able to score some tickets. So I went to bed very happy. And I woke up this morning and found out they had added 3 more shows in London.
Uh-huh.
That are much easier to get tickets for. And are talking about doing a show at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles, California.
So one is about 10 miles away from your house,
uh-huh.
And the other
one is across an ocean. But I'm going to cross an ocean. That's what I'm going
to
do. Screw
it'll be
it,
fun
man.
To see them there.
Screw it. The first time since 1980 when they step out on that stage in front of a British audience, I will be there. Or I will sell them for a tremendous profit. No, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Anyway, very excited. But they have added additional shows at the O2. And again, as mentioned in the Daily Mirror newspaper, they are talking about a 6th show at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles where they last performed their last live gig in 1980. That was the final time they appeared on stage. So, very exciting times.
What do you think their motivation is? Hmm. They probably don't need the money, do they?
Yes, they do.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, they need the money. Of course. Last time I saw any of them live, I saw John Cleese at a one-man show recently, a few years ago. And I caught his live show, and he was calling it the Alimony Tour. That's what he was calling his show. Apparently, he had a horrible divorce settlement, and he was trying to make some cash up. He spent the first 15 minutes of the show, actually, with pie graphs and charts showing exactly how much his ex-wife earned every day of their marriage, given the settlement that he had to pay out for the divorce.
That's funny.
It was very entertaining. But, you know, here's the thing. People bitch about taxes here in the States. You have any idea what the wealthier taxed in England?
It's insane.
It's like a 90%.
It's criminal.
It's like a 90% tax.
90% for real?
Yes, for real.
I don't think it's that high anymore. It was at one time in Britain, but it is still twice as bad as it is in the United States.
What?
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's crazy. So.
I think they're at 75 in France right now.
So the boys are looking to make some cash. God bless them. It's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, The Hunger Games: Catching Fire was the number one movie in the country over the weekend. I don't think anyone could have expected $161 million at the box office.
That is crazy good.
Crazy good. Worldwide, it made over $300 million. So doing very well. Thor: The Dark World was number two at the box office with $14 million. A little bit of a drop off from one to two.
A bit.
The Best Man Holiday was third. Delivery Man, the new Vince Vaughn film, was fourth. Free Birds was fifth. Then Las Vegas, Bad Grandpa, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, and the Dallas Buyers Club. This makes me angry. You can remake It's a Wonderful Life or Gone with the Wind, and whatever you want to do, but don't mess with the classics.
Wait, those ones that you just mentioned were classics.
Oh, no, not when you think about this news. A remake of the 1989 film Roadhouse. Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse.
Is that Pain Don't Hurt?
Pain Don't Hurt? Be nice until I tell you it's time not to be nice.
Hi, I'm Dr. Clay.
Hi.
How'd this happen?
Natural causes.
Looks like a knife wound.
Like I said.
You're a bouncer?
Mm-hmm. Double deuce.
Nice place. They send a lot of business my way.
I'll give you a local.
No, thank you.
Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt.
Come on! Come on!
Pain don't hurt.
The noisiest microphone in the history of man.
Well, they're in a busy hospital. It's getting all sewed up.
Pain don't hurt.
Dalton. Dalton, world's greatest bouncer.
Doesn't pain by its very definition hurt?
I don't know, man. You've never been a bouncer at the Double D?
I haven't. That's true.
How are they going to remake that movie?
I don't know. I mean, look, this is the discussion we have every time they remake a movie from 20 or 30 years ago, which is, truth be told, a vast majority of the movie-going public hasn't seen it.
Right, but for in some instances, the first movie, the original, was terrible, so they're going to get another run at it. For mm-hmm. other movies, it's great. This one seems like a moment in time where they sort of struck magic,
yes,
struck gold.
Exactly. And just, there's no way that the plot of Roadhouse is so spectacular
right.
that you need to take another shot at that with a different cast. You know, sure, back in the 80s, they tried to make a movie about a guy who beat up people in a bar. But now we have the technology to really put it up there on the big screen where this guy will beat up people in a bar.
You know what this seems like to me, Ralph? This seems like the thinking behind, hey, Footloose was big. Let's remake Footloose. And then the remake comes out and it's just, it has nothing going for it that yes. anyone cares about.
Because the nostalgia of the original film and remembering where you were when you saw that and enjoying it to this day for the guilty pleasure that it is. Is one experience, but going
right.
to see a new version of it.
Yeah, no thanks.
New people.
No, pain don't hurt.
No.
That's why I'm putting all my Twitter money. I'm taking it out of the stock market.
Oh,
all my
are
Twitter
you?
Money.
All that Twitter
and,
money?
And I'm going to produce a remake of Xanadu. That's where my money's
don't
going.
Don't you even
that's,
kid.
That's the
don't
80s
you
movie
even
that needs
kid
to be
about
done.
It.
If there's a person to do it, though, it's me.
It's true. Because who was more of a roller disco fan than Bean? Still
that's
is.
That's the one.
I love
No, you don't.
I love Xanadu.
You
Nobody
don't
loves
love Xanadu.
Xanadu. One of my favorite 80s movies
no,
ever.
No, you don't love it.
Because it's terrible.
Because it's
right?
awesome.
For the same reason Roadhouse is awesome.
Wrong. It's actually awesome.
No, please.
She's a muse who comes and inspires a young man to fulfill his dream of making a roller disco.
I don't think... I think you've seen it in a
Shut
while,
up.
Ralph.
Xanadu, greatest theme song ever. Xanadu.
You're way too happy with
now
that.
Now we are here in Xanadu.
I would
now
like a Ralph's, I would like a Ralph's video vault on Xanadu.
Here.
That's what I would like.
In Xanadu.
I would like anything other than him singing.
Now that you're near, now that we're here.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Electric Light what? Orchestra doing all the music for it? Come on.
Right. But what I'm saying is you have fond memories because you were hot for Olivia Newton-John at the time. But
boy,
if you watched it today, you would hate it. It's terrible.
It's so good. They pop and lock. This guy's popping and locking during that scene. It's awesome.
It's not awesome.
Speaking of remakes, last week I told you they're going to remake It's a Wonderful Life. They got the girl who played Zuzu, the little girl that Jimmy Stewart's the little daughter in the end of the film. She goes, Daddy, look, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Right.
That's right, sweetheart. That's right. And so they got her, 73-year-old actress, and they're going to make her the new guardian angel in the next film, It's a Wonderful Life, the rest of the story, it's being told.
Nope.
And the producers were very proud of themselves, and they announced it last week, and they said, this is great. We've got her locked up. She's going to return to the cinema, and we can do this because it's in the public domain. And it won't cost us a dime to reboot this, and we can cash in on all the goodwill people have towards this holiday classic. And that's until Paramount Pictures rang their doorbell.
What do you mean?
And said, yeah, we bought the rights to that movie 14 years ago. it's no longer in public domain. It's now a property of Paramount Pictures.
Oops.
So we're going to come bitch slap you. So the plans to make that film are no longer going forward. How heartbroken is a 73-year-old lady sitting in a one-room apartment in Van Nuys who thinks she's going to be a movie star again? How unhappy is she? They can't make it now.
Nope.
I think we all dodged a bullet.
Yep.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What?
I have late-breaking Monty Python news for you.
I didn't expect this.
Yes?
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition!
Eric Idle has responded to the Daily Mail's report of a Hollywood Bowl show
yes.
for the Monty Python reunion.
Yes.
Eric Idle has announced on Twitter,
yes.
we have no plans to play the Hollywood Bowl.
Woo! Score!
So you may have have done the right thing by getting up at 2 a.m. to get your tickets for London.
No, they'll play.
Nope.
Oh, they'll play.
Oh, no.
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 It's a given.
Stop it.
together.
Look, if you're getting the band back together, why not do a couple more shows at a place like the Hollywood Bowl and just make tons of money? You're already working.
Well, they may not want to travel. And if they do play a tour in the States, I doubt they're going to play a place as small as the Bowl.
Really?
The O2 Arena has 20,000 seats in it.
Wow.
They've sold it over four times now. If they're going to play the States, I'm guessing they'll do some sort of arena thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would do a small venue like the Bowl.
Well,
if
so
it
far,
wasn't for nostalgia's sake, because they had played there, you know, 30 years.
Sure.
Right.
But if that's the case, if that's the truth, then I scored.
Well, that
hell
comes from...
mother.
That's a good point. Right. That's a good
comes
point.
From Eric Idle, so that's
what,
where
what
we're at
right know?
Now.
What does he know?
What does he know?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Katie Cassidy, 27 years old today. Boy, she pretty and talented and good on that Arrow show. Jerry Ferrara is 34 years old today. Christina Applegate's 42. Tim Armstrong from Rancid, of course, the singer-guitarist. Also the first man on the moon. He is 47 yeah. years old today.
And he won all those Tour de France's, too.
Yeah,
remember?
Quite a bicyclist as well.
Crazy.
Billy Burke is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have the pitbull of comedy, Bobby Slayton, in the studio.
That's right, Ellie Mae. How about you?
He's here now.
We also have David Spade on the program tomorrow.
Who's the chihuahua of comedy.
That's correct.
What a coincidence.
Oddly enough. And we've got your tickets for the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow as well on an all-new Kevin.